Baaloscha. There's a pasuk that says the following. Vo'etno es haledim nesunim li'aron levona mitoch b'nei Yisrael. I will give the levim over to Aaron and his children from amongst the Jewish people. La'avod es avodas b'nei Yisrael, so they can do the service of b'nei Yisrael, the Yoel Moed, u'lechaper al b'nei Yisrael, and to atone for the Jewish people. V'lo yeh b'nei Yisrael negev, and there won't be a plague amongst the Jewish people. The Geshes B'nai Israel HaKodesh, if B'nai Israel go to the Kodesh in a way that's not proper. What is obviously stands out about this pasuk? Anybody? The redundancy of B'nai Israel. It mentions B'nai Israel 5 times in this pasuk, where it could have just referred to them with the pronoun Osam. Mention them once and then say Osam or whatever. Why is it mentioned B'nai Israel 5 times? So Rashi brings down the Chazal to tell me that the Jewish people are as precious as the 5 books of the Torah. So the obvious question is, why all of a sudden in the middle of Parshas Baaloscha the Torah has to tell me the Jewish people are precious? Tell me that at the beginning of the Torah. Tell me at the end of the Torah. Tell me yet by Har Sinai. All of a sudden, in the middle of choosing Levim, separating them from Bnei Israel, we have to know that Bnei Israel are precious like the 5 books of the Torah. So I think that the answer is also pretty obvious, and that is, here we are dealing with a situation where the Rabbanu Shalom are separating a tribe from amongst Bnei Israel to be, as the Rambam calls it, Kodesh Kadosh, Holy of Holies to the Rabbanu Shalom, to more intimately, directly be involved in the service of the Rabbanu Shalom, either through the Kohanim of that tribe or the Levim, who are subordinate to the Kohanim. And I would think that, and the Levim are separated from the Jewish people. They're not counted. They don't live amongst they live in their own cities. So I would think that there's something wrong with Klal Yisrael. And these people are special, and therefore they have to be separated from the Hamon Am, from the regular Jewish people, because they're not so good. So Torah has to go out of its way to tell us that the reason the Levim are separated is not because there's something wrong with Klal Yisrael, just the opposite. Because Klal Yisrael are so important and so precious, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted to give them leaders and examples and inspiration that they can aspire to, and that can lead them to bring out their tremendous potential, because they're as precious as the 5 books of the Torah. That's, in general, I think, the idea. Now, the parsha here starts out with Baalos Hasaneros. The Kohen lights the menorah. Right? And the truth is, the Kohen really doesn't, according to the Rambam, doesn't have to light the menorah. Any Jew can light the menorah. Where you need a Kohen is to set the menorah up, to put in the oil, to put in the wicks. Right, that's what you need the Kohen. The actual lighting can be done by Israel. That also emphasizes the role of the Kohen. The role of the Kohen is to prepare the Jewish people to bring out their greatest potential. He's the teacher. He's the example. He's the inspiration. He's the shliach, the agent that connects them to the Rabbanu Shalom. So it's not that the Kohen does it in our place. He's there to be the one to bring out the greatest potential of the Jewish people as possible. Same thing with the lady. Now, I also once wanted to explain that the role of the Levi can be compared to the following. It says that Yeshishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. That is the first letters of Yisrael. Yesh, Yud, Shishim, 60, Ribui, 10,000. Reish, Osios, Aleph, LaTorah, Lamed, Yisrael. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. Now, the simple meaning of that is that every Jew has a letter in the Torah. Every letter in the Torah represents the neshama, root neshama of the Jewish people. There are 600,000 root neshamas. There are many clusters of neshamas, 600,000, and each cluster has many neshamas in it. But there are 600,000, as we said, clusters, root neshamas. And every Jew is a letter in the Torah. There's only one problem. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. There's only 304,000 letters in the Torah. So there are many, many answers given how to reconcile the fact that it says that there's 600,000 letters to the Torah and there's only 300,000. In my estimation, there's no question. Because the question would only be if it said there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. Then it would say, Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios BaTorah. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah. And then it wouldn't spell Yisrael. It would spell Yisra'ab. In order to be Yisrael, the last word has to be La Torah, to the Torah, which I think means the following. There are 300,000 letters in the written Torah. In addition to that, you have to add another 600,000 letters to make the Torah complete. Those are the neshamas of the Jewish people. And we say that Yisrael, the Oraisa, the Kudsha Brich Uchadu, the Jewish people, and the Torah, and the Rabbanu Shem, all one. So in order for the Torah to be complete, the Jewish people have to have that kesher to the Torah, and there's another 600,000 neshama letters that are added to the 300,000 written letters. Yeah, there's many, there's about 11 answers. But again, that's only if it would say Bat Torah, is it really a big question. Since it says La Torah, it can be understood the way I'm telling you. Right? There are other answers. There are answers that includes the Targum, that it includes the spaces between the letters. It includes the letters that each letter is made up of. They're all different answers. Okay. In any case, but the number 600,000 is only the number of the Jewish people without counting the Levium. The Levium weren't included in that 600,000. They weren't counted amongst the Jewish people. So what about the Levium? Where's their share in the Torah? So I once was thinking that there's something else in the Torah besides letters. There is the lining of the parchment, sirtut. Before you can write a Sefer Torah, you have to line the parchment, not with ink, but with a blunt instrument that indents the parchment, makes a line. And the letters are written with the top of the letter on that line. That's part of the Sefer Torah. So I was thinking, maybe that's where the Levium are hinted to. They don't have letters, but they're the lines. What's the purpose of the line? To keep the letter straight and to give them something to look up to. Top of the letter, the line is above the letter. And they're like the behind-the-scenes leaders of the Jewish people, inspiration to the Jewish people. And then I made a cheshbon. And I found out that if you, according to the custom of how we write a Sefer Torah, how many lines, how many columns, or whatever, it's all custom, but according to the custom we have, there are 11,000 lines in a Sefer Torah. But that's a Sefer Torah of 300,000 letters. If you have a Sefer Torah of 600,000 letters, how many lines would there be? Double. 22,000. That's exactly the number of the Levium. 22,000. So it led me to believe that what I thought is true. That the Levium are the sirtut. They're the lines that keep the Jewish people in line, in place, and give them something to look up to and to aspire to. Now, based on that, I want to explain the five ways that the Levium not only achieve this purpose, but that because the greatness of the Jewish people, it's that they're able to achieve that purpose. It's only because we have that tremendous potential that leaders and agents and representatives can be successful. If the Jewish people didn't have that tremendous potential, then the lines would be meaningless. The lines are only important because the letters are so important, because the letters are so holy. So the Levium and the Jewish people are not two separate things. They are all part of one unity, where the Levium have their role. The Levium represent, the Rambam says, that Shevet Levi represents that which is Kodesh Kadosh, holy of holies. In other words, the regular Jewish people have to be holy. They don't have to be holy of holies. But the Shevet Levi was chosen to be God's army. They are dedicated totally to God. They don't earn their own living. They don't go out to war. And because of that, the Rabban Hashem provides for them. He makes the Jewish people, hold on, okay? Unless it's something you don't understand. Yeah? Okay, if it's a question, hold up. Then ask me at the end. Okay, I'll give you time to ask me. Otherwise, it disturbs everybody's train of thought. So the Levium are God's army, the Rambam says. And therefore, they are separated from all the mundane needs of this world. God takes care of them by commanding the Jewish people to support the Levium. And they are Kodesh Kadosh. And the Rambam says, not just Levi alone, but anybody who wants to volunteer to be like a Levi. And he separates himself from all the mundane concerns of this world and devotes himself totally to service of God and to teaching the Jewish people Torah and whatever. Those are the yeshiva people, Rabbonim and Dayonim and Kolel Avreichim. Then they become Kodesh Kadoshim, and God will take care of them too, meaning that the Jewish people will support them, just like God takes care of the Levi by having the Jewish people support them. God doesn't take care of the Levi by having parachutes of food come back to their house. People give trumas and maisers. They're responsible to support the Levi. So too, people devote themselves totally to Torah. God tells the Jewish people to support them. Okay. In any case, so therefore, the Levium are a model and an inspiration, aside from being mentors and guides and teachers, okay, and those that enable the Jewish people to do what they're supposed to do. They're also an example that individuals can follow and join the ranks of Levi, not officially, but at least unofficially. So therefore, the Torah gives us five different expressions mentioning Bnei Yisrael, and each one corresponds to a different chumash, and I think reveals a different aspect of the role of the Levi, and also why the role represents how important the Jewish people are. Again, if the Jewish people wouldn't be important, then their role would be nothing. What's important to teach a people who are unteachable? What's important about being an inspiration to people who have no potential? So the fact that the Levium are an inspiration and guides and teachers or whatever shows the importance of the Jewish people too. And each sefer in the Torah represents a different importance of the Jewish people. And that's what we're going to discuss now. It says the first thing is, Vo'etno es ha-Levim nisunim li'aron levonim mitoch b'nei Yisrael. The Levium come from amongst the Jewish people. It means the following. One would think that the holiness of the Levi is different than the Jewish people. They're holy and they're a different kind of holiness. No. The Levium come from amongst the Jewish people. Because the Jewish people are holy, there can be a holy of holies. But if there's no holy, then there's no holy of holies. The Levium are an addition to the Jewish people. They're not something separate, something different. In fact, even the Kedusha of the Jewish people is an extension of God's holiness. It's not something different than God's holiness. We are an extension of God's holiness, and the Levi is an extension of the holiness of the Jewish people. They come mitoch b'nei Yisrael. And because of that, it shows that if the Levi can be Kodesh Kadoshim, then there must be a Kodesh that they came from. And that shows the holiness of the Jewish people. It shows the foundation, the gene pool, the yichus of the Jewish people. What is Sefer Bereishis? If not Sefer Hayitzira, Sefer Ha'avos, which shows what our roots are. Look where we come from. Look at the potential of the Jewish people as reflected by the Avos. That's what our gene pool is, spiritually. That's who we are. We are emanations and representations of Avraham, Yisrael, Yaakov. And from that gene pool, from that came a Kodesh Kadoshim, came someone even more holy, Levi. But if they weren't part of the Jewish people, they never could have been a Levi. You can't have a Levi who doesn't come from the Jewish people. So it represents Sefer Bereishis, which represents the foundation, the roots, the potential of what Klal Yisrael is. And Sefer Bereishis, and that gives the Jewish people a she'ifa. You can't have an aspiration to grow if you don't have the capability of growing. But if you know you have tremendous potential, that can give you the incentive to want to realize that potential. So that's one thing that the Levium do. They're the line above the letters that give the letters something to look up to realize we are holy. And these Levium We're even holier. So there's a level beyond what we can do. So let's look up and see as much as we can to emulate the Leviim in our... We can't learn all the time. At least we'll be koveya itim la Torah. If we can't totally be devoted to God's service, we'll minimize our material, mundane pursuits and try to emphasize the other pursuits. We can't do it completely like a lady. We'll do it partially at least.
What were the
ones called again? The what? The wine called again? Sirtut. Sin, resh, tes, vav, tes. And therefore, the Rabban Shem gave us the ability to, if we don't have to do it, he doesn't demand that Kodesh Kadashim from us, but we can do it voluntarily. Every person, the Rambam says, can volunteer to be like the Levi, to be Chel Hashem, to devote himself totally to Torah and be supported by the Jewish people. That's a possibility for a person. Anybody can be like the Kohen Gadol. How? Become a Nazir. A Nazir has the same holiness as the Kohen Gadol. He can't defile himself even to a parent, right? And he's Kodesh, just like a Kohen Gadol. So the Jew is not required to be holy of holies. He's only required to be holy, but he has the opportunity to look up to the Kohan, the Kohen, and the Levi, and strive to be a little bit more holy than he is. Okay, that's the first thing. Then it says, La'avod es avodas b'nei Israel. They do the service of b'nei Israel. What does that intimate? That the service is not just for the Levim. The Kohanim, their special mitzvahs, and their service is not theirs. It's not that they're separated from the Jewish people, and they have different mitzvahs. No. It's the mitzvahs of the Jewish people in general. Except, this part is done by these people. But it's my responsibility. They're my agent to bring sacrifices or whatever. I can't do it. I'm not on the level to do it. But I'm responsible to see that it's done. And I'm responsible for it too. And they're my agents in helping me fulfill my responsibility that I can't do myself. But it means that it's incumbent on all the Jewish people to see to it that there are people devoted to Torah constantly, that there are people teaching Torah, that there are people serving in the Beis HaMikdash. It's not their job. It's the job of all of Klal Yisrael, except the ones who actually perform it for the sake of everyone is the Kohanim and Levim. So that also tells me how precious the Jewish people are. That it's not that the Kohanim and Levim have special mitzvahs and special service that they do. It's my service too. And by being part of them and supporting them, I'm a partner with what they do, and they're a partner with what I do. So that's the second thing. And that is the idea of Sefer Shmos. What I have to attach myself to the Levi. And I have to support the Levi. And I have to feel that we have a joint business venture over here because it's all of our responsibility. And if I can't do it, I have to find somebody else who can do it. Same thing. If I can't learn all the time, at least I should support somebody who's learning all the time. So that is what's it called. And that's Sefer Shmos. Sefer Shmos is Kabbalah Satorah, Binyan HaMishkan, Geula, the Yi'ud, the mission of the Jewish people. And it's one unified mission. It's not a mission for these people different than these people. It's all of our mission, except some people can do this part for everybody, and some people do a different part for everybody. And the Kohanim and Levim do their part for everybody, but it's my responsibility too. It's not just their responsibility. Next one. Let's just finish this up, and then I'll take questions. L'chaper al b'nei Yisrael. The next thing is l'chaper al b'nei Yisrael, to atone for the Jewish people. Now, what does that mean, they atone for the Jewish people? Since there is this collective responsibility, and because I'm only a regular Yisrael, I don't have the ability to do more, there's something missing in me. When something's missing, that's called chet. Chet means missing the mark. There's something missing. It doesn't necessarily mean there's something wrong, but there's something that's imperfect. Chet is imperfection. Okay? Usually chet refers to shogeg even. Kapara is filling up the imperfection. Filling up that which is missing. It's called kapara. Okay? Lechaper means to fill up the space, the vacuum that's the imperfection and the thing that's lacking. Okay? To fill the lack. That's called kapar. Memela, the kohanim, levim, are the ones involved in the sacrifices, which, because the Jewish people are not perfect, because they're imperfections, we need somebody to help perfect us, to make up for those imperfections. Okay? But it's possible to make them up. That also shows the greatness of the Jewish people. We're not lost. We have tremendous potential, even in those areas where we're imperfect. There's a way of rectifying that. That represents, obviously, Sefer Vayikra. Sefer Vayikra is a Sefer of Korbanos and Kaparos and so on. So that's Sefer Vayikra. And then the next one is V'lo Yev B'nei Yisrael Negev. They protect the Jewish people from a plague. Okay? Meaning, they are the guides and the teachers. And like we said, that line keeps us in straight, keeps us in place, right? That we don't end up falling off the line and getting lost from the Torah. The sur meira, stay away from the bad. They make sure that we don't deserve punishment, that we don't deserve a plague, because they keep us in line and keep us away from negative things. That's one of the purposes of the mentors and the guides and the teachers of the Levim. And that also shows that, what's it called, that there's something special about us, because if you're not capable of doing anything good, you're just good for nothing, then what's the purpose of not doing bad things? Anyway, you're good for nothing. It only makes sense not to do bad things if you're capable of doing much better. So that shows the greatness of the Jewish people. And that corresponds to Sefer Bamidbar. Sefer Bamidbar speaks about all the sins of the Jewish people in the desert. Right? This week, Sedra has three of them. Then the Chet HaMaraglim in next week's. And then Korach. Right? And then Bilam, who came and saw where the shortcomings of the Jewish people. And then Zimri in Parshas Pinchas. One thing after the other of sins and failures of the Jewish people. So the Levim are there that we should learn from our failures. We should learn from the punishments of the sin, that we shouldn't repeat them. That's Sefer Bamidbar. And finally, the Geshes B'nei Yisrael El HaKodesh. In order to guide us, that we should be able to do what's right, first they guide us to stay away from what's wrong, Sur Meira, then the Aseh Tov, how we can properly approach our level of holiness, which we're capable of. The Levim are the ones to, and the Kohanim, the ones to guide us onto the path of holiness, right? And that's another purpose of those lines, to make the letters look very nice and orderly. Not just that they shouldn't be disorderly. They should be even more orderly. So those are the purposes. It gives something for us to look up to understand that without us, those lines are meaningless. And to make us straight and to put us on the right path. That's Sefer Devarim. Sefer Devarim is the Musar of Moshe Rabbeinu, right? To make sure that when we go into Eretz Yisrael, we'll be able to keep all those mitzvahs that in Sefer Devarim are told to us, because now we have a chance to go into Eretz Yisrael, to be an Am Kodesh, to live with Kedusha, to do all these extra mitzvahs of Kedusha. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the one, the Levi, who Taka teaches us in Sefer Devarim how to approach Kedusha, how to approach going in Eretz Yisrael and living a life of Kedusha. So this is the function of the Levi. And it's also because of the functional Levi tells me how important I am. So the entire Jewish people get their importance by understanding the function of the Levi, which emanates from the greatness of the Jewish people. And that's how we're supposed to look at Rabbanim, Rosh Yeshivas, Tzaddikim, Kolel Avreichim, people who voluntarily take on the role of Shevet Levi, as the Rambam says. Have to, on the one hand, we have to benefit from them, to get those benefits that they give us, at the same time to feel that these people make me feel important, because they're not separate from me. They are part and parcel of what I am. They've emanated from what I have, Kedusha, and they give me the incentive to want to, if I can't be exactly like them, but at least to emulate them in certain ways, and to bring out my potential as much as possible. Okay, now, any questions? Yeah?
What did Levi do himself so that he was actually that was great?
Why was Levi chosen to be the Levium showed themselves to be special in a few ways.
Levi himself
championed his sister Dina, and the Torah saw that the way he did it was different than the way his brother Shimon did it. Shimon ended up being a renegade for the bad too. Sometimes people just have a feeling of wanting to be a renegade, whether it's for the good or for the bad. Shimon showed that later on it came out for the bad in his descendants. Now Shein Ken Levi, it came out for the good. Levi championed his sister's cause, killed out the whole city of Shem, but he did it with the right intentions, proving the fact that later on his descendants killed the people who served the eagle. On the other hand, Shimon's descendants, who also did the same thing, right, ended up becoming part of what Zimri did. So Levi had this power of being a tanoi, right, a total zealot for the Rabbanu Shel Olam, right, to dedicate himself to the Rabbanu Shel Olam completely. What other things were Levi? Levi was in Mitzrayim, the Shevet, and Levi himself. Right, started that never served idolatry, that were totally there to lead and guide the Jewish people. They didn't serve the eagle, not one of them. So the whole tribe of Levi inherited from Levi himself this idea of total dedication to the Rabbanu Shel Olam, without exception, constant and consistent. That was the ma'ila of Levi. Levi means levaya, an accompaniment. They accompanied the Rabbanu Shel Olam. They were God's partner, escort. It was a constant thing. It wasn't sometimes, it was consistent and constant. That was the Ma'ala of Levi himself and his descendants. Came out of his descendants. Yes? They are Shevet Levi. They're definitely in every. There were Kohanim that were not good either. Real Kohanim. There's always rotten apples in a basket. But the majority of people who are devoted to learning Torah are devoted, because if they wouldn't be, they surely could do something much more productive and make a lot more money from it if they really aren't dedicated. Right. So the majority of people who are dedicated are dedicated. And there's always people who are nachshlepers, right, who aren't so dedicated, even them. Right? You have to look at the fact that maybe it's not because they want to fool anybody or they want to, you know, an easy time. It's just that, Pashat, they're not capable of that much more. But if they would be in the other situation, they'd be much, much worse. So here, this is holding them on.
Right, and I always wonder that, because they say, you know, it says that part of giving on them was not on
right, exactly.
Ability.
Right, exactly, 100%. Right.
Learning a quarter of a standard is there.
Right. Could be. Right. Okay. That's, again, there are definitely people who don't belong sitting and learning all day, because they're not,
right,
who are just, what's it called? Yes. But they are a minority of minority. Okay. And again, it's not that everybody is sitting and learning a kolol, even here in Eretz Yisrael. Right. Because we're only looking at people who are from. There's a majority of people who aren't from, who aren't sitting and learning the kolot. And the Klal Yisrael needs a minority that are devoted totally to Ratzon Hashem. That minority is not going to come from the people who are not from altogether, or don't even know what it means to be from. So what's a minority of Klal Yisrael, if all from people would sit and learn the kolot, that would be a minority of Klal Yisrael. So we're talking about a minority of a minority of a minority that are there. So we're not talking about, you know, everybody. Halavai, everybody, then we'd have a problem and Mashiach would come. But since we're talking about a very small minority of Klal Yisrael, even if it may be a large number in Eretz Yisrael of from people are a minority, unfortunately, in Klal Yisrael. Yeah? No? Okay.
I have a few questions. One is that
Right, because they're part of the Jewish people. Because they're part of the Jewish people. Just as much as a woman can say Asher Kedishonu b'mitzvosav tzivonu, an Ashkenazi woman, when she makes a bracha on something she wasn't commanded. Because she's part of the Jewish people, and the Jewish people were commanded. She may not have that specific mitzvah. Right? She's only volunteering. But she's part of the Jewish people who were commanded about that mitzvah. So the Levi was part of Klal Yisrael who were avodim in Mitzrayim. And there, even though they personally were not avodim, but they weren't a separate nation. They were part of the nation of avdus. And even though their part maybe wasn't doing the work, but was suffering along with their brothers. Moshe was no less an eved in Mitzrayim because he suffered together with his brothers, even though he didn't have to suffer directly. Right. Right, we're part and parcel of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Aside from the fact that they couldn't sleep, they were suffering with them because they saw their brethren suffer. They didn't have to go out and work, but they knew that their next door neighbor was working. It bothered them. Right? People in the Holocaust who maybe weren't taken away, or in America, but they did what was right, they suffered along with them. So the Jewish people went through these sorrows. When Mashiach comes, all Jews will have the ability again to do the Avodah, just like originally it was supposed to be. Every Bechor, the Bechoros were supposed to do the Avodah. It's only because of the Chet HaEgel that every Shevet except for Levi was disqualified, right? And from Levi, only the Kohanim were able to take over that job. But when Klal Yisrael reach again the level they were supposed to be on, every person could bring Korban. Right. The Bechorah, like it was supposed to be in the beginning, just the firstborn. Were they the firstborn of every what?
Because
Kohen Gadol, yeah, so there'd be one person picked from all the Bechorahs, a lot of Kohanim. It's one person picked from the Kohanim. He's not born to be the Kohen Gadol.
And then all of Am Yisrael
but that's what the Rabban Shom said. Since, as things stand now, it's not possible for everybody to be a Levi or a Kohen. But at least the Levi and the Kohen give each individual the inspiration to try to reach their potential as they have it now. Right? In other words, strive towards, like I said, right? You may not be able to sit and learn all day, okay? But, you should strive to want to be as much as possible that should be a goal. In other words, you're never going to reach the goal of being an avreich, but you're going to reach the goal that you'll be able to devote as much time during the day that you can to Torah and minimize your other occupation.
Meaning that Hashem wanted it to be so that all men potentially, ideally, would be meister all of the olam and
sit around all
day. And
that's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says. When Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, on the highest level, and that's what will be when Mashiach comes. Goyim will work. Goyim will work, and they'll take care of the physical things of the world, and Yidden will sit and learn Torah. But women, could be, according to some, will at that time also learn Torah.
No, I'm saying that
women have a responsibility. Right, women have the responsibility to set up the environment where their partner can devote himself to that. And also to create the environment where a family can grow, where there will be children who want to do and fulfill that role for the future.
But
not just the men, the women too.
What about I'm saying, if ideally that would be the potential of everyone, so maybe Hashem would make all Jewish people able to do this. And I'm saying, if Hashem gives talents that are different, then
right.
the learning Torah.
Yeah, but even learning Torah is not just sitting and learning Torah. There's people do mitzvahs and they do chesed, and there's a lot of other things that are included in Torah besides just sitting and learning. Right? You can't just sit and learn Torah. You have to do a myriad of mitzvahs, and you have to have beinar lechaver or whatever. That's all included in being devoted to learning Torah all the time. It's not just sitting at a table. You can't just sit at a table because the Torah includes a lot more than that. We're talking about not being involved in anything extraneous to Torah. That's all. And the Torah includes all the various mitzvahs, bein arm lechaveiro, bein arm lemakom, bein arm liatzmo. So each person has his chelik within that, but that's already a kohen. Even a kohen does other things.
Doesn't ideally, the learning Torah is the
hasmana, the amel of
the
Torah.
Right,
but that's... It's not besides the point. That's the goal of everything. It's not besides the point. That is the framework. It's within that framework a person has to be an Omel Batorah. Omel Batorah means an Omel in mitzvahs and an Omel in chesed and all the things that the Torah says. It's Lilmod Amanas Lasos. You're learning in order to fulfill what you're learning. So that's all part of the learning.
But the main focus is to try to learn as much as possible. The actual...
Yeah, but you have to eat matzah and you have to blow shofar, and that's not a nevach. That's part of the system. That's as much and teach other people, and that all of that is part of the system. There's no such thing as learning being a value to itself outside the system. If it becomes learning in a vacuum for the sake of learning alone, when it's not part of the whole system of Torah, then that learning is worthless.
So I'm asking
right, because there's a whole gamut of Torah that has to be done, and that involves a lot of other talent. Even in learning Torah, there's different talents that people have.
Someone finds himself, let's say, doing 2-3 hours of learning, of actual learning, and let's say spending the rest of his day doing mitzvah causes. Could that be considered learning?
It depends if those are mitzvahs that no one else can do, that he has to do. Right, no one else can do it, and he can't do it at a different time, then yes, and that's part of his learning. If it's not, then who says he should do it? It's not something you're required to do. Then you should be learning.